The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy. Everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia. We're in the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM right here in Commerce. You can also get us worldwide, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, when you go to those two internet platforms, make sure you try to use a computer or laptop, something along those lines. Because sometimes if you use a telephone, you don't get the full experience there. And when you go to the website, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis, and there you'll find our archives. You'll find the last four or five programs there for you to listen to at your leisure, kind of give you an idea of where you where John stands with what's going on in the world and how it relates to biblical prophecy. But also very much encourage you to go and listen to last week's show, which had the first part of the qualifications or the characteristics of Antichrist. And of course, we'll be following up with that today and continuing part two of that program. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, history is racing towards the finish line, and you have precious little time left to make a decision between life and death. I love you. I want you to choose life through Jesus Christ, that you might be born again and spend eternity with God's Son in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the hourglass is about to run out. I beg you to receive Him, to confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Absolutely right, John. And I just wanted to mention that this is not a gray area. There is no multiple giant door for you to get into heaven. There's a very small opening, and the only way to heaven and to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. If you hear that in a church you're going to, run fast, because they're not teaching the true word of God, then you don't need to be under that tutelage.
Amen. There's absolutely no ambiguity in Scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Absolutely. Now, before we get too deep, John, let's go ahead and do the quote of the day. It's always a very important part of the program, very well received.
Absolutely. And tonight, of course, we know that Jesus declared spiritual deception would be the calling card at the end of the age.
Right.
So I thought I couldn't find a better quote than from George Orwell, quoting from the 1940s. He said, in times of universal deceit, speaking the truth is a revolutionary act, unquote.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, here normally, during our normal course of business, we would do try to answer a question from the audience. But this week, following last week's program about the characteristics of Antichrist, I would say in the high 90s of our comments and questions were in regards to when are we going to have the second part? Is it going to be this week? So the answer right. to that is yes. So let's just go right into that, John.
Right. Well, let me encourage our listeners to go back to the archives and review last week's episode. Rob will tell you shortly exactly how to access that or refresh your memory because it'll be important for continuity. To go pick up that show and then listen to this one. And of course, this will also be on the archives, and I think we plan to embed these two episodes on the webpage. So last week, just to refresh, we began this discussion. Antichrist will be a little politician and a mighty nation, a little horn. He will come with a mouth speaking great words and boast. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law. He will come in peaceably, and by flatteries he will obtain the kingdom. He will cause deceit to succeed by his craft. He can only be destroyed by Jesus Christ, although man apparently will try. He will sustain what should be a mortal head wound by the sword. The Greek there in Revelation 13 is makahira. It's like a Roman officer's short sword or a dagger. I suspect a small caliber pistol. I have used the analogy before of Bobby Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, when he was killed, a small caliber round behind the ear. Kennedy died. This man will miraculously recover. And of course, it will mimic the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Scripture says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death. He doesn't die, he should die. And so when he recovers, this man is indwelt by Satan himself. The dragon gives him great power and authority, and they worship the beast and they worship the dragon. And after this mortal head, what should be a mortal head wound, the world is amazed. The whole world wondered after the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast and who can make war with him? Clearly, no one on this earth. He arises in the west, not the east. He will lead the Western Alliance, and all the world will worship him. Revelation 13 says that he's given authority over every nation and tribe and people and tongue, and all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. And so except for those people who come to faith and will largely be martyred, that is, beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
And there won't be many of them.
There won't be many. Revelation 20, the entire world will bow down to this man. He will hold himself out to be God. Antichrist, Antichristos in the Greek, means opposed to. It can also mean in substitute for. We know that he holds himself out, as Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians 2, that day, the time of judgment, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. We're in the midst of it. And that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship. So he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That's at the midpoint of the tribulation. And it is my exegesis that he will sit his rear end on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. It will not kill him because he is not a normal man. I believe we discussed evidence that he will be infected with the Nephilim gene last week.
Right.
Also, he is indwelt by Satan himself. And so much like as described in Luke 22, Satan entered into Jesus, he'll enter into this man. And he'll offer him all the kingdoms of the world, just like he did Jesus. He will accept. And so it is my conviction that God, and through the Spirit, that God will allow this to bring to full fruition human evil. And then the second part is when the great tribulation period begins. Jesus described this time. He said, there's nothing like it. It'll be tribulation since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. So this man will look normal. He's not going to come with horns. He's not going to come like the movies and all that kind of stuff.
Not going to have a pitchfork or anything.
That is absolutely correct. And Satan has some strategies here. Look harmless. Hitler looked just like an ordinary guy, not scary. Sound nice and helpful. He's there to help people and save them.
Oh, yes.
Remember, C.S. Lewis said, the worst kind of tyranny is the one that wants to take care of you.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of you from cradle to grave.
Right. Champion those who feel left out or harmed. If people don't like victims, then convince them that they are one and didn't realize it. I believe you've heard that somewhere recently. Control education of the next generation. Control survival mechanisms, healthcare, medical service, and so forth. Think central bank digital currency and digital ID, an implant in your hand to confirm your identity. That begins to sound like the mark of the beast.
Doesn't it, though?
We talked about that last week, too. Control public policy. weaken your opponents, just like Saul Alinsky. What you do is personalize, and you spread lies, and you destroy them personally. You cancel them.
Yes, I cancel
culture. Remember the
cancel
culture? Create a threat that you can rescue people from. In other words, you manufacture a crisis.
Never let a good one go to waste.
That's right. And then the solution, of course, you bring in experts, which is some fool that comes from 50 miles out of town, totes a briefcase. No smarter than you or me. But the solution, of course, is to move to absolute control. Challenge anything that perpetuates or enables self-reliance. They want you dependent on the government, and will depend on Antichrist and his beneficence. Eliminate religion. First make it unpopular, and then adversarial.
It's already unpopular.
That's right. But one day it will become deadly, because they'll track for your faith. They'll track you down and cut your head off. Go read Revelation 20. Assure that you are not judged by your results, but judged by your words and feelings and good intentions.
Right.
Take away freedoms in stages, like a frog being boiled in water. Assume complete ownership of private property and grant essential privileges only to those who obey. That will be like the mark of the beast and the image of the beast.
The money that you were talking about, the credit scores.
The money, you won't have cash.
Right.
It will be, and that currency is programmable. It will be a global currency, not a national currency, and you will have no choice. About it, at least after the midpoint of the tribulation period. And so I need to make this point. I think I mentioned it maybe two episodes ago, but this certainly is germane. When Paul says, describes him as the son of the man of sin, this is a man, folks. The Greek is anthropos. He's not a woman. He's not an organization. He's not a system. He's not a state. He's not a religion. He's not a cult. It's a man.
It's a person.
A person. You need to understand that.
An absolute physical person.
Right. Just like Jesus Christ was the Son of God, this will be the son of Satan. Now, you can pick that up in Genesis 3, because when God judged at the fall, he told Satan, said, I'll put enmity in Genesis 3 between her seed and your seed. Now, the Hebrew there is zera. It means offspring. We know the offspring of the woman was the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Pray tell, who would the offspring of Satan be? Well, let's fast forward 6,000 years. Antichrist.
Yeah.
So.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's right. So in John 5, we know, John 5:43, as I pointed out last week, Jesus said, I came in my Father's name and you would not receive me. Another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. So they missed him the first time, going to miss him again. And so here is a man, Jesus Christ, fit every prophecy, and there were about 300 prophecies concerning the advent, all fulfilled to the letter. And they had known this for 400 years. They had the Torah. And so we're talking about willful ignorance, and of course, what resulted was spiritual blindness. And so when Jesus was taken up into heaven in a cloud, which is described in Acts, the first chapter, two angels appeared to the disciples, and they said, O men of Galilee, why do you gaze into the heavens? This same Jesus will return in like manner to receive you unto himself. And absolutely, we know that he will. So they still did not recognize him. Of course, the gospel spread like wildfire after that. 300 prophecies concerning the first advent, almost twice that many concerning the second. And so what I would tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is to go back and review 1 Corinthians 15, that biblical Christianity stands or falls on the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Paul said, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, you're still in your sin.
Yeah, nothing matters.
Right. And among all men, most to be pitied. So we who live in the last days of grace believe by faith, sola fide, sola scriptura. By faith you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and pass from death to life. So, but a false Messiah is coming. The Jews will accept him. As a matter of fact, the whole world will accept it. Now, if you want to know who you are, read the book of Romans. If you want to know who Jesus Christ is, read the Gospel of John, and then contrast that with Satan's false Messiah, Antichrist. By and large, Israel and the Jewish people are still in unbelief. As Paul described in Romans 11, a partial blindness has occurred to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and then all Israel will be saved in a day. And of course, one third will survive when Jesus comes back at the second coming. And so right now, we have war in the Middle East. We have war in Israel. The whole world is beginning to turn against Israel. And we discussed this, I think, last week, that the motivation to prepare the world for Zechariah 12 and 14, that I'll bring all nations to battle against Jerusalem. I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all who lift it will be severely injured, though all the nations of the earth are gathered together against it. That is being, the world is being prepared to go to war against Jerusalem.
Right.
So stand by, because you're seeing the Bible fulfilled before your eyes. Now, we've seen attempt after attempt to bring peace to the Middle East, the latest being this two-state solution that came out of Oslo, Land for Peace. We know, based on Joel 3, 1 and 2, that the dividing of the land will trigger the judgment of God. He says, "When I in those days and at that time, when I restore the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I'll bring all the nations into the Valley of Jehoshaphat and enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my inheritance and my people Israel, whom they scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land." Past tense. The Assyrians, Babylonians, nor Romans ever divided the land out of it 1,900 years. Since Oslo, Land for Peace. They want to establish a Palestinian state. The land will be divided under the false peace of Antichrist, and the day that agreement is signed is day one of the tribulation. Now, according to Daniel 9, 26, the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The prince, referenced in verse 27, will confirm this covenant with Israel and her.
And that would be
Arab
the Antichrist.
That is Antichrist.
Okay.
That prince, now, he's of the people, he is of the Roman descent, is what I'm trying to tell you. It was the Romans, General Titus Vespasian in the 10th Legion, that laid siege to Jerusalem in AD 70, destroyed the temple and the sanctuary. The nation, most the remnant fled to Masada, most committed suicide, but the nation's existence ceased for 1,900 years, miraculously restored on 14 May 1948. Now, this Antichrist, so here's the next point. He doesn't have to be a European leader, but he does have to trace his lineage to the old Roman Empire. The people of the prince who is to come. Well, that's the Romans, not the Chinese or something like that.
Right.
He has to be of Roman descent. Now, Pastor Mike Taylor picks this up, because remember, there's a false religious system that helps to underpin this, primarily composed of apostate Christianity and Islam. Islam has someone called the Mahdi. That's their savior. They're looking to come. Antichrist and the Mahdi are one and the same.
Same person.
We need to pick this up on the other side of the break. Pastor Mike Taylor commenting.
All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. This is World in Crisis. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia. The studios of Whisper 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM. You can also get us worldwide at WJJC.net and Whisper951.com. That's 24 hours a day. While you're there, make sure you visit the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis. There you'll find the archives, and the last four or five programs are there for you to listen to at your leisure. Make sure you do that, because it'll give you a context as to where John stands with what's going on in the world and how it relates to biblical prophecy. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Mike Taylor writes, and of course, both Shia and Sunni Islam believe in the Mahdi. The Ayatollahs in Iran are firm in the belief that this man is alive today. He discovered something called the Arak Codex number 190001, and correlates with long-held belief that the Mahdi will come as a type of Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting things about this guy. First of all, he is going to conclude a seven-year peace treaty assisted by ISIL, which is the Arab name for Jesus. In other words, just like Antichrist, mm-hmm. a seven-year peace treaty. And, of course, he will intend to bring the world under subjection to Islam, and the derivation of the word literally means submission, that is, submission to Allah. It also explains why he will either be Muslim or have strong Muslim influence, because they are beheading the Christians during that period of time, that is, the tribulation saints. Taylor writes, quoting from the Codex, he's half black, half white. He is tall and strides with a lope, possesses dead eyes and prominent ears. His background is both obscure and exotic. He is persuasively elegant and is adept at saying one thing while doing another. His head swivels from side to side when addressing the multitudes, as if reading from prepared text, no doubt lowered from on high. He gives the distinct impression of being a man-child. He's supremely confident and exudes a certain boyish charm many find irresistible. He is devoted to popular sports involving holes and nets as emblems of ensnaring. He bows frequently in false humility, cajoling the high and the mighty of the earth, yet brooks no, does not stand objection to his will when dissent is offered. He is to be found in many different places from day to day. He is surrounded by loyal minions, many of whom appear to be imbeciles, who do his bidding without question or scruple. He occupies the seat of power. Pastor Taylor continues, let me be very clear. He said the 12th Imam, as described, he's not going to name names, and neither am I. You will have to draw your own conclusions and do your own research. But I'm telling you that Allah is not another name for God. It's the name of another God. And this man will be indwelt with that God. He has many names, which we described a couple of episodes ago, maybe last episode. Man of lawlessness, son yes. of the morning, Beelzebub, prince of the power of the air, and so forth. This is just another name of Satan, a false god, and so this man will be indwelt with him. It goes on. He has been schooled at the feet of prophets and sages and learned from the masters of canon and creed. He is a repository of sacred teachings and potent incantations. He is adept at uttering sonorous phrases that please as they befuddle. He is the embodiment of consecrated, ancient, and venerable doctrine. He is no longer hidden, but exalts among us in all his glory. He is the bringer of chaos in the last of days. He will inaugurate a new world order. Doubters and skeptics must give way. The 12th Imam has returned, confirmed in his exaltation by innumerable tokens and crests and auguries. Devastation will precede him, and false, of course, this resurrection, that is, false resurrection, will surely follow in his wake. Remember, it will mimic the resurrection of Christ right. when he is apparently shot and recovers. Devastation will precede him. The infidel shall be destroyed utterly. The believer shall rise from the smoldering ruins in triumph and gladness of heart, and this shall come to pass, for it is written, he is mighty. Now, is there some corroborating evidence to this? Is there something else that might point to this? Well, yes, there is. and you can research this yourself from Lion of Shia, posted 21 November 2022, the Hadith, that is the written sayings, from a Shiite text of the 17th century. The tradition comes from Bahar el-Anvar, meaning Oceans of Light, by Mullah Madliski, a magnum opus in 132 volumes and the basis of modern Shiite Islam. Now remember, the Shiites believe in blood succession and the Sunnis believe in ecclesiastical succession
right.
or chosen by leadership. According to the tradition, Imam Ali bin al-Talib, the prophet's cousin and son-in-law, prophesied that at the end of time and just before the return of the Mahdi, the ultimate savior, a tall black man will assume the reins of government in the West. Commanding the strongest army on earth, the new ruler in the West will carry a clear sign from the third Imam, whose name was Hussein ibn Ali. The tradition concludes, Shiites should have no doubt that he is with us. Now, we also, some years ago, identified an old preacher by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles.
Yes.
And Dr. Hiles died in 1999. However, he preached a sermon in 1970, and we have a short clip from that sermon that we're going to play. And I want you to listen carefully. He documents, but he identifies the time in which he's speaking, 1970. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jack Hiles.
Which means between that fourth one, the Roman Empire, and the sixth one, when Jesus reigns on the earth, at the end of the tribulation period, there is only one left, and that one is the revived Western powers, the United States of Europe, if you please, the Western Confederacy under the Antichrist, and there's nothing in this world that can unite this world tonight except the strong personality of that magnitude. Now, that's one of the main reasons why I believe that our Lord is coming very soon. I believe tonight somewhere on this earth a man lives. He may be a boy. He may be a teenager. He may be a little child. But I believe tonight somewhere on this earth there's a man whom God has signified to be the man of sin. I believe somewhere walking, living, and breathing tonight on the face of this earth in 1970, there walks a man. And that man is becoming a charming person. I think he'll be a young man, just like Alexander the Great was, a young man. And I think the youth movement shall sweep him in. I would not be surprised at all but that he is a Negro man. And I've told my people that because I think he is a fulfillment of Nimrod in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, who was a Negro. That's not to his discredit, because I think white people in general are worse or as bad or worse than the Negroes. We're all from the same root father, Adam, and we're all in the same depraved race, and I think we're all as rotten as the devil. But I happen to believe that perhaps he may be a Negro man. But somewhere tonight, white or black or somewhere in between, there is a man, I think, on this earth who will someday, for a while, conquer the entire world. And I think that it's near because that's the only hope. Now, by the way, I'm not just a nut. I'm a nut, but I'm not in this case. I'm not just a nut batting my gums. Some of the greatest minds in this world think the only hope for America is a dictator. A man known as the Antichrist. And the world is ready for him because the world tonight is in the same place she was in when she had to have a Nebuchadnezzar. She had to have a Cyrus. She had to have an Alexander. She had to have a Caesar. And now she has to have an Antichrist. We've gone too far, ladies and gentlemen. We have gone too far. The earth is too rotten. The fruit is too ripe. The angel is about to pull out his sickle and thrust it into the earth, and the earth shall reap the harvest of our wickedness. The only hope for any kind of unity at all is not in a party. It's in a man. And that man is soon to come.
And I think reasonably informative. One of the things I'd like to point out that we discussed the infection coming off the ark in the form of Ham's son, Canaan. You're
talking about the Nephilim infection.
The Nephilim gene. And then we looked at further corroboration because Nimrod, who ruled over the first seat of Satan in ancient Babylon on the plains of Shinar, the Bible said he was becoming a mighty one in the earth. The Hebrew there, Geborim, same verb used of the mighty men of old who were offspring of the Nephilim in Genesis 6. So Canaan went to Canaan. There were giants in the land. See, Ham probably picked up his wife, some old gal out of the local population. He was okay. She wasn't. And so his son was infected, and then Nimrod. So Dr. Howes is referencing Nimrod here. He said he's becoming a mighty one. See, Nimrod was Ham's grandson. But right now you're two generations out, and so the gene was likely recessive, but beginning to manifest itself. Does that make
right.
sense? Okay. So, it appears that there is considerable evidence to suggest that the Islamic Mahdi and Antichrist are one and the same people. Now, there are probably any number of suspects. We're not going to know for sure, and that's one of the reasons I would never name names, because the Scripture declares in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the Holy Ghost, the restrainer, has to be removed, and then that wicked is revealed. So,
right, there's no way that we can know.
Not precisely. However, that doesn't mean you will not have clues.
Right.
Okay, and perhaps lots of them. Paul also said that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, coming from the Greek apostasia, meaning literally a rejection of known truth of and about God, and then that man of sin be revealed. So all of that happens very quickly.
It's very, very fast.
Yes. And so when the church is removed, ladies and gentlemen, the restraint of the Holy Ghost is removed at the same time. He's not taken out of the world. You got to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. However, it's the restraint that's removed. It will allow human evil to come to full fruition. So, the coming man of sin, the false Messiah, the Bible deals with him, of course. We reference 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 9. Of course, in Matthew 24, 15 and 16, Jesus declared, therefore, you'll see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, that means we know there are Jews that will still be in Judea.
Right.
At the time of the tribulation, the midpoint of the tribulation, when Antichrist declares himself to be God. And so, we also know from this that the temple is bona fide. Antichrist will desecrate it. It's called the abomination of desolation. Every word means that there's a definite article. This is something that has never happened in human history, and it will never happen again. Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig in the temple. This won't hold a candle to it. He was a type of that Antichrist. That described in Daniel 11. So, the promise of peace, false peace, when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. There'll be signs in the heavens. We also are seeing all sorts of evidence that the world will be brought against Israel. We're seeing anti-Semitism sweep across the United States and the world, which will establish motivation for this exceedingly terrible period of time. We know that the Jews will accept the leadership of Antichrist. They missed him the first time, and here we go again.
Right.
So, to summarize some of the clues and recap, we've seen blood moons in the last 3 or 4 years, which are always signs for Israel, signs in the heavens. Back in the 90s, Shoemaker-Levy, the asteroids impacting Jupiter and so forth, Hale-Bopp comet, which had not been seen for 3,000 years.
Right.
Scholars think the last time it was seen, Moses was leading the children of Israel out of bondage from Pharaoh. These are not coincidences. Then there was the Revelation 12 sign about the virgin being under the moon and the feet representative of Israel. And, of course, Satan intends to destroy God's people Israel. A push for a peace treaty in Israel, which has been going on for 40 years, actually longer than that, as far back as 1948, 75
right.
years ago. Of course, the Arab League rejected all plans to try to live peaceably. Iran believes the Ahmadi is on the scene. He's alive today. The Sunnis and Shia Islam all believe
the Ahmadi is
coming. They intend to establish a Muslim caliphate to rule the world. We discussed the Arabic codex 190001 related to the Mahdi. This is a suspicious period of time, ladies and gentlemen. I am suspicious of this year. Dr. Thomas Horn, very suspicious of next year. Now, no man knows the date of the hour, but that's the only thing precluded. We are seeing all the prophetic events described in Scripture, both converging and accelerating exponentially at the same time. It's almost impossible to triage information with this program. albeit this ministry has never been scripted. It is Holy Ghost driven.
Well, you mentioned too that the things that are happening, the signs in the air. Well, when other than now has there been such a focus on UFOs or, you know, things right. that are going on in the air?
There's always been an interest. What has changed is that the governments of the world are acknowledging it.
Yeah, you're it's not always, tin hat folks
right,
anymore.
It's always been suppressed, tinfoil hat stuff and that kind of thing. However, remember, Beelzebub, the Lord of those who flit or fly, and the prince of the power of the air. So we're going to return to a discussion of the UFO phenomena here very soon. What you're seeing there is demonic activity come out in the open at the end of time. Now, this business has always been with us. This dates back to time to antiquity,
right.
to time immemorial. People were seeing strange lights in the sky and so forth. The fallen angels had descended on Mount Hermon before
right.
the flood and provided esoteric knowledge to the Sumerians, which historians and archaeologists cannot explain.
No, they have no idea.
Outside, all you have to do is read the Bible.
Well,
and perhaps the Book of Enoch. He was an eyewitness to this, to the shenanigans that that went on. So Antichrist will also practice. Remember, a clue is that you're beheading. They are beheading the tribulation saints.
Right.
So you can expect Antichrist to practice what in the Arabic is called taqiyya. In Islam, it's authorized. Taqiyya is subterfuge. You can lie with impunity to an infidel.
Right.
Understand?
Right.
And then, you know, you're my best friend, and then put a gun to your head. So he will practice subterfuge, and this bit, and we're seeing this in Gaza right now. They want a ceasefire. Well, the word in Arabic for a ceasefire is hudna, H-U-D-N-A.
Reload.
it's the same word they use for reloading a magazine.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're up against a hard break. I want to go ahead for continuity purposes and take it.
All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gasser. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gasser. Co-host Rob Jordan with you. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, Whisper 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM. You also get us at whisper951.com and WJJC.net. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. Now, if you're wondering why we're doing so short of an intro, it's because we've got a lot of stuff to pack in to this last segment here. John, take it away.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've discussed a great deal of information in this episode of World in Crisis. I would encourage you to go back and review it. I have to say, and I know in my spirit, there are people listening to my voice who will not go in the rapture because for whatever reason, you can't quite come to that point that you can make that step of faith and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to need this information if you're left behind.
Absolutely.
Because the world will be full of deception. As Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians 2, that the coming of the lawless one will be in accord with the activity of Satan and with all false signs and lying wonders. Now, the signs in the Greek there is Simeon, and the lying wonders are terrors. These are not two separate events or phenomena, but they are intertwined with one another. And the lying wonders are associated with wonders in the heavens, which ties back to the UFO phenomena. Remember, as we have discussed in years past, the occupants of these entities which appear, abductees who are taken and have contact with these things, are being told that they are our creators. They
right.
deny biblical Christianity and so forth.
Some type of a seeding that happened.
That's exactly here. Right. You turn on Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, and they'll tell you all about it.
Yes.
Sometimes they come close, but they can't quite connect.
They're very convinced.
They are. And they provide a lot of evidence.
Yes, they do.
But if they could just connect the dots with God's Word,
right.
That's what we do here on World in Crisis. So I can tell you Israel has to be close. They are primed to receive someone who can guarantee, who can bring peace and guarantee their safety. Now, this goes back to antiquity. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came as a lamb. What they wanted was a warrior king, and what they got was a lamb. Today, they're still looking. They rejected him, and they're still looking for a warrior king. Well, they're going to get a warrior king one day when the Son of God, when the Lion of the tribe of Judah roars out of the heavens and makes his enemies a footstool. And they'll know in that moment that it was the carpenter's son after all. But 7 years previous, they will have accepted the leadership of Antichrist.
Right, the false.
And he will, the false Messiah, and he will guarantee the peace. I cannot conceive of any other option that the treaty will provide for rebuilding the temple. Dr. Fruchtenbaum, a completed Jew, says it's clandestine. I beg to differ. I just quoted Jesus Christ declared the temple to be holy. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, the angel in Revelation 11 describes, tells John to rise up and measure the temple of God. Paul calls it the temple of God, just as I quoted that he would take his seat in the temple of God. I have to conclude it's temple of God. So that means that the sacrifices for the first 1260 days are efficacious. They are just fine until the midpoint. Once he desecrates it, that's over. Then they either have to receive the teaching of the 144,000 Jews or believe what the two witnesses told them, because the two witnesses preaching before the temple are killed, likely Elijah and Enoch.
Right.
They are killed at the midpoint. They let their bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and then God resurrects them and takes them up into heaven. The scripture there, here's another clue. If you don't think we're close, the Bible says that the people of every tribe and nation and people and tongue, the whole world, will look at these two dead bodies in the streets of Jerusalem.
Right.
That would have been impossible before satellite telecommunication.
Until pretty much today.
Today. That's precisely correct. So, Israel is primed, and the world is primed to receive a false Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
And a false peace. And God declares there in 2 Thessalonians that he will send strong delusion.
Please, somebody help us, because we can't help ourselves.
Say again?
Please, somebody help us. We can't help ourselves.
That's exactly correct. And so let me summarize here some important points. In summary, this man is not going to come with horns shaking his fist at God. He's gonna be the slickest thing since ice cream.
Yes.
He's speaking. He has a mouth speaking great words and boasts. Remember, in Daniel 11, Antiochus Epiphanes was a type of Antichrist, and the scripture says he came in peaceably and by flatteries he obtained the kingdom. He's not coming in with the SA and the Gestapo.
Right.
At least not at first. He will come. Let me just summarize some points here. He will have a speaking presence. His oratory will be absolutely brilliant. He will have political power. He will have the seat of power. John said there are 10 kings who will arise. They have no kingdom yet, but they receive a kingdom, and they give their authority to the beast in 1 hour, 60 minutes. Now, this is after the rapture. These 10 kings will likely come out of the 13 bloodline families and assume leadership over 10, each one of them over 10 economic zones, which are absolutely in place. The last one.
Yeah, right now they're available.
There are 10 economic zones. Last one when Clinton signed NAFTA in 1993. He will have military command over projection of power, which is beyond comprehension. And remember, the war of Gog and Magog will have occurred. The Russian and Arab threat largely neutralized. You still have China out there, but that shoe doesn't drop until Armageddon. The Chinese will worship him too, by the way. He'll have earthly wealth and extravagance, economic policies and organization. And we talked about that. Antichrist will maintain absolute totalitarian control by controlling the economy of the world. That's why I have told you that central bank digital currency and, by extension, artificial intelligence are the greatest threats to constitutional liberty which exist today.
Absolutely right.
He will have the ability, he will have persuasion, but the persuasion is centered in self-aggrandizement. He will have patient and successful oppression of God's people. That is to say, he will hunt down, track down, and execute the tribulation saints, because they will not receive the mark of the beast and they will not worship his image. Now, remember, you have returned to the economy of law to complete it. Daniel was told 70 weeks were appointed for your people and your holy city, the Jews, Jerusalem. 69 of those weeks have come and gone in antiquity when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, 6 April, AD 32. Now, it's been 2,000 years since that time. As a matter of fact, since the crucifixion, it'd be 2032. That's one of the reasons that Dr. Horn is suspicious, 25. Add 7 years and you come out
right.
Exactly 2,000 years later. The 1,000-year day theorem, that a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years of a day, which is what the Bible says in both the Old and New Testament, would be true. Hosea says, after 2 days you'll revive us, the Jews. So on the third day we live before you during the millennial age.
Right.
So we are there. So, and you might want to go back and review our episode on the webpage with timeline vectors in the Bible, because we are pushing up against the margins of prophecy. excuse me. So we're in a window now that is absolutely closing.
It's getting smaller and smaller.
Yes, and at a more rapid pace.
Yes.
Now, remember, Jesus declared in Matthew 24:37, just like the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not similar to, that is identical to.
Yes.
So this will naturally lead into a discussion of the UFO phenomena, because what was the characteristic of the antediluvian world the days before the flood? Well, there were Nephilim in the world in those days, coming from the Hebrew root Nephal, fallen ones, the offspring, also Nephilim. But Enoch describes 200 fallen angels. These are spiritual entities which descended on Mount Hermon.
Physical. Yes.
And then they began to cohabitate with women. And before somebody tells me, preacher, you're crazy, the angels, God said, the word says, the angels neither are given and taken in marriage. And so that's true for the holy angels. But the Bible says these angels left their first estate and they lusted after strange flesh. So they apparently had the capacity, but God's holy angels maintain their first estate.
Also, I don't know where you stand exactly on this, but my belief is that there are no female angels.
No, I do not believe there are female angels.
There's no reference to them anywhere in the scriptures.
I absolutely concur with that conclusion. And so these things began to cohabitate with women. They produced a race of giants and so forth. You can read the rest of that story. And I would also encourage you to review the book of Enoch, because this time was beyond belief. Now, the Bible says that there was widespread.
That's one of the reasons Enoch didn't get included in the
biblical text. That's right. It was very disturbing.
Text.
Many of the early church fathers wanted to canonize it. But Enoch was described as he's recognized as a prophet in Jude. Jesus
right.
knew him. So I think his writing is very reliable.
I would agree.
These things began to eat people and drink blood and all kind of stuff. There was the characteristics of that ate. There was widespread sexual immorality. The thoughts and intents of men's hearts was only on evil continually, and violence filled the earth.
Well, that's today.
For further information, turn on the evening news,
yep.
which I don't watch anymore. I have to get information from other more trusted sources. If you want to understand what is happening around you, you will never reach the right conclusion through a secular paradigm. For goodness sake, turn off the idiot box and open your Bible.
Absolutely.
You can only understand this through a spiritual dimension. And so I beg you and I plead with you to go to God's Word and find out what's happening, because these are not events which are going to happen. These prophetic events are happening right before your eyes.
Absolutely right.
We have discussed a lot of things in this episode. I want to base you a little bit because I'm planning to begin to get into a further discussion and review of the UFO phenomena. And the modern term is UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Right.
But I can tell you that this phenomena is exploding throughout the world.
Yeah, it's not just here.
It's not just here. Governments are beginning to acknowledge it. And so I think that begs the question, why and why now?
Yeah, why now?
We'll be trying to connect those dots here very soon. It looks like he's beginning to flail on the other side of the glass.
It's beginning to be time.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have two choices, and there are only two choices. You're gonna believe the true Messiah or the false Messiah. The false Messiah could be on your TV screen right now.
Yes.
And you wouldn't know it because we don't know who he is precisely at this time because he has not been empowered yet. He's empowered after the church is removed from this world. So I would challenge you, in the words of Joshua to ancient Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. My final thoughts come from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 8 and verse 1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's only those who are in Christ Jesus who are not condemned, but who have passed from death to life. And I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you will appropriate Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses resulting in salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, you will be born again. You'll pass from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassert, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.